Man Up, brought to you by Construction Professionals, a program dedicated to inspiring and helping men live lives of heroic virtue. Join Joe Stopulis and Father Zach Kowski every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. And now, it's time to man up.
Another year goes by, more leaves, more smoke.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy Live Up Studios. Heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM and 94.5 FM. Around the globe, streaming online at iowacatholicradio.com and on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. Also, please subscribe to our podcast and like us on Facebook. I am Joe Stopulis, along with Father Zach Kautsky. Today, we are joined again by Rocky Vest, and we're going to have part two of our discussion on the great work, Mere Christianity. Father Zach, would you please open us up in prayer?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Lord, I come before you today and ask for your strength within me, a strength not of this world, but of your kingdom, to refrain from judgment and to feast on love, to push out greed and hold tight to joy, to dispel pride and rise with humility, to squash anger and rest in self-control, to turn from power and embrace service, to let go of resentment and rest in peace, to push through fear and walk forward in grace, to run with faith, hope, and love, and allow your eternal strength to abide within me. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, for those who could not hear our first episode with Rocky, it was, again, I think we could have done 9 episodes on this. But the first episode, we talked about a mere Christianity. We gave kind of the background information on it, and then we covered basically the first half of the book. So I want to do a quick recap on that. So for those who don't know much about Mere Christianity, it is a book that compiled a whole bunch of talks C.S. Lewis gave on the BBC radio during World War II. And so it's a lot. It's fairly pithy chapters. They're 15 to 20 minute talks. And really, it's an apologetic on Christianity. And he starts extremely broad, talking about why I even believe in any God at all. And then he works his way to monotheism. And then specifically for monotheism, he gives the case for why the God of Christianity. And then after he gets to that point, he then walks through, if you're going to believe in this God of Christianity, what does this God say about living a moral life and how to do that? So today, we're going to talk about that second part, about how to live as a Christian. But more specifically, he talks a lot in the preface about this idea of a hallway, and we talked about this last time, and how his goal was to bring people into this hallway. His goal was to – he didn't care which room you went into, and the rooms would be kind of the different denominations, Christian denominations. He just wanted to get you into the hallway. So we talked a lot about that. Go back and listen to our podcast on iTunes, and you can listen to the first episode. But up next, we're going to have Rocky Vest on to – dive into what does it look at the Christian life look like if we're going to believe in this God? How are we supposed to act? So stick around. We're going to head to a short break, and we'll be right back.
This is Iowa Catholic Radio.
Thank you, Skeffington's Formal Wear, for sponsoring Dowling Catholic High School football. In business since 1951, Skeffington's Formal Wear offers quality service, style, and selection, providing tuxedos, suits, and casual groom attire for weddings, proms, and any other special occasion. Skeffington's Formal Wear, with convenient locations in Des Moines, West Des Moines, Davenport, Coralville, and Ankeny. All locations are family-owned and operated by members in their respective communities, fitting you for life celebrations. Online at skeffingtons.com.
Be not afraid.
What do you think? John, in his characteristic humility, was eager to point beyond himself to the Christ. He did not hesitate to direct his own disciples to the Lord Jesus.
Are you afraid? Well, don't be. Instead, be not afraid with Father Fabian Moncada every Tuesday morning at 9. Also, join Father Fabian on Sunday mornings for Be Not Afraid in Spanish at 10:30.
R&R Realty is showing Jesus Christ at work through powerful programs like Be Not Afraid, only on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Oh, hey, I didn't realize you were listening. Sorry, I was just texting into my favorite radio show so that my voice can be heard too. Anyway, while I have your attention, let me put my phone down. Have you ever wondered what it's like to have a conversation with radio hosts like Bo Bonner or Gene Wells? Maybe John Leonetti or Julie Nelson? Well, guess what? You can. Iowa Catholic Radio has a text line that allows you to interact with show hosts, suggest ideas, or even have your comments read on air. So get your phone out and text in 515-223-1150 and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. I am Joe Stopulis along with Father Zach Kautsky, and today we're joined again by Rocky Vest.
Rocky grew up in Mississippi and went to seminary at Truett at Baylor University. He's a husband and father of four children here in Des Moines, and we had him on previously to discuss C.S. Lewis, and by the way, he also rides bikes, so today might be
a nice day to get out and ride bikes. Yeah. He rides bikes for a good cause. Rocky, welcome back for part two of our talk on Mere Christianity.
Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
So in the first segment, as we mentioned, we jokingly, when we were setting this thing up, it's like, there's not enough time in two segments, three segments, four segments. I wasn't joking. There's a 9-part, 45-minute deal I listened to on a podcast, and it still was skimming over stuff. So there's no way we could cover it in two shows. At the end of the last show, I kind of made the segue towards the Christian lifestyle, specifically the Lord, Liar, Lunatic. But prior to that, there's a few other things you wanted to help fill in the gaps, and I want to hear about them now.
Yeah, so we made the case from moral law to there must be a moral law giver. And then we find, as Lewis points out, that, we understand there is moral law. We've actually been responding to it wrongly, and this gives us cause to be uneasy. And so then he makes the bridge then into Christianity in this way. He says, Christianity simply does not make sense until you have faced the sort of facts I've been describing. Christianity tells people to repent and promises them forgiveness. It therefore has nothing, as far as I know, to say to people who do not know they have done anything to repent of and do not feel that they need any forgiveness. You see, that's why he starts in with the law to point out that, hey, there's actually a right and a wrong and a person who really cares, and this gives us great reason to be uneasy, because if we've offended the one who could actually speak the universe into existence, then we need to really listen to what he is saying about who he is. Mm-hmm. And then that leads us into the Christ narrative. Mm-hmm. Right? So now we actually have, if we're talking to people who are unbelievers, or even as an encouragement into your faith, it really solidifies the necessity of Christ, mm-hmm, and the necessity of forgiveness. And you can't just forgive yourself. It needs to happen outside of yourself, as we see, because the more that we try to achieve the moral law on our own, the more we find out how deeply dark our hearts are. Either we will use that as a mode of self-righteousness, right, to point the finger at other people, or we'll rebel against it.
Which we'll get to this in a bit, but his chapter on pride is one of the greatest few pages of literature in the world. It is so stunning, and we'll talk about that later. We're not there yet. And I believe, Rocky, you have one more you wanted to hit on regarding the leading up to the case for Christ.
No, I mean, that was what I wanted us to see, was that we have great reason to be uneasy. Mm-hmm. And so then when you listen to the claims of Christ, they make all the more sense. And quite honestly, you have nothing to say to me if you are offering me a remedy for something that I don't have. Mm-hmm. Right? Don't give me medicine for to be a cure when I'm not sick.
Exactly.
Right, so we have to make the case that we're quite ill.
Turn the news on just any time of the day, and you'll figure that out pretty quickly that we as a society need some help.
Mm-hmm. There's a line Lewis says I have here. Lewis says it may be hard for an egg to turn into a bird. It would be a jolly sight harder for a bird to learn to fly while remaining an egg. We are like eggs at present, and you cannot go on indefinitely being just an egg. We must be hatched or we'll go bad.
Yep. One more thing on top of that, with this is a side note I had written down for last time as we're making our way into the Christian lifestyle. And that's what the Christian lifestyle is all about, is we talk a lot about the afterlife with when a child's in the womb, they would rather stay in the womb than go out, but in order to actually see what the outside world's about, you have to get out. The one objection I've heard of the Lord, Liar, Lunatic is that, well, it's a myth. if you don't believe in the Gospels, and so there's a book that just came out that we just read, The Case for Jesus, not The Case for Christ, The Case for Jesus, which gives a historical background of all of the Gospels, and it came out last year by Brent Petrie, and that is all about why the Gospels have sound footing to believe. So anyway, so the one thing people will try to crack a hole in is, well, that's only if you believe what was written about Jesus by the Gospels, and then he goes into Josephus and all the... Anyway,
indeed,
so that's
indeed, the historical reliability.
That's another side note to it. All right, so now we're getting into the Christian lifestyle, which
sure
every part of this book, guys, we could do an episode on. You could do an entire episode on each part of the book every day, because we've got other topics to hit. We're only going to touch on this in two episodes, but the Christian lifestyle we could talk about forever. Mm-hmm. Rocky, I'll let you start at the top. Is there any things that you want to hit on before we get too deep into this?
Sure. And when it comes to coming to faith in Christ, Lewis really has a great way of disarming those who maybe you might be like me, and you've started out like really very analytical and even doubting at some point in your life. And so Lewis says this to maybe the doubting heart: a man can eat his dinner without understanding exactly how food nourishes him. A man can accept what Christ has done without knowing how it works. Indeed, he certainly would not know how it works until he has accepted it. You see, we don't understand how a car works fully. There's people who do, I'm sure, but I don't. I stick my key in the ignition and I step on the pedal.
You still drive it.
I still drive it. That's right. I still drive it.
I get an airplane.
Eat food.
I'll jump on an airplane even though I have no idea how.
I don't know how the aerodynamics.
It's magic.
I don't
know
how the.
I think it's
just magic.
Yeah. It's
I don't know how the aerodynamics work. You know that it's lifted up exactly.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this: do you know how air works in your lungs precisely?
Nope.
No. How does your blood know to take the oxygen? It just does. Like
my
all these
my
things,
science
right?
teacher in high school is shaking your head right now, but I didn't.
This is making me uneasy.
Numbers. Yes.
But you do it continually, right? And so if we're waiting for every single thing to be understood about Christianity before you accept it, then you're going to have to go on rejecting many other normal things you do in your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he dives into the virtues and the vices. So he talks a lot about the cardinal virtues and then dives through how to kind of picks apart what the virtues are and then what the opposites of those are and how they manifest themselves in the world today. So I talked in the first episode about how I remember laughing out loud, and this was one that I... So he gets to the sin of... So he talks about... I'm going to get the exact title here. I believe it's just on lust. Sexual morality. So he talks about all the different moralities and cardinal virtues. And when he talks about his sexual morality, I laughed out loud, so I have to share this. So he's talking about how the appetite for sexual desire is absolutely so far... Like you could, he says you could eat, and you could eat as much as you wanted, never stop eating, and you would be full after about eating double the amount you should. He goes, but the sexual appetite is such that if you fulfilled it every time you wanted, you'd have thousands of children, and that wouldn't be good, and obviously there's a lot of problems with that. And he says, you can get a large audience together for a striptease act, that is, to watch a girl undress on stage. Now, suppose how you came to a country where you could fill a theater by simply bringing a covered plate to the stage and then slowly lifting off the cover so as to let everyone see, just before the lights went out, that it contained a mutton chop or a bit of bacon. Would you not think that country has something wrong with their appetite for food? I remember reading that and laughing out loud. This is written in 1942.
Mm-hmm.
1942. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about the disordered view we have on sexuality. Makes the joke about, you know, would you do it with a piece of food or something like that? Imagine what he would do if he saw this today, of what the world has become.
And this is 20 years before the sexual revolution.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly. So that was in this. And so, again, he continues to go through... sexual morality and then Christian marriage. So one of the quotes I have from Christian marriage: the idea of marriage is based on Christ's words that a man and a wife are to be regarded as a single organism. For that is what the words one flesh would be in modern English. And the Christians believe that when he said this, he was not just expressing a sentiment, but stating a fact. Just as one is stating a fact when one says that a lock and its key are one mechanism, or that a violin and its bow are one musical instrument. I thought that was a great analogy of marriage as one, talking about the violin and the bow, the key and its lock is one.
Indeed.
I think he wraps that so well together.
You know, regarding sexual morality, something that helped me put in its proper place is that Lewis says at the end of the chapter, if anyone thinks that Christians regard unchastity or in chastity as the supreme vice, he is quite wrong. The sins of the flesh are bad, but they are the least bad of all sins. All the worst pleasures are purely spiritual. The pleasure of putting other people in the wrong, of bossing and patronizing and spoiling sport and backbiting, the pleasures of power, of hatred. Now keep listening. For there are two things inside me, competing with the human self which I must try to become. They are the animal itself and the diabolical self. The diabolical self is the worst of the two. That is why a cold, self-righteous prig who regularly goes to church may be far nearer to hell than a prostitute. But, of course, it is better to be neither.
That's the end of a chapter, Tim. It's just, a mic drop.
Again, I started laughing aloud, and I told Kristen. I go, Kristen, you got to hear this one? Oh, it's perfect. And then he goes on, and we'll get to this in a bit. He talks about pride. So he hits on the sexual morality, and then quickly at the end says, listen, as bad as it is, it's not the worst thing. And then he wraps it up with another, his second or third mic drop of the book so far. We're not even halfway through. After Christian marriage, he gets into forgiveness. A quote of mine that I love from this one is, everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until he has something to forgive.
That's right.
Yeah.
I thought one of the great quotes that we had kind of picked out was about temptation, and I don't know about you guys, but I think it's easy to think that the saints or, you know, Jesus himself didn't really have temptation or didn't really understand it, but C.S. Lewis kind of, again, mic drops. He says, only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is.
Mm-hmm.
We never find out the strength of the evil impulse inside us until we try to fight it. And Christ, because he was the only man who never yielded to temptation, is also the only man who knows the fullness of what temptation means, the only complete realist. I thought that was powerful.
Yep.
We're not alone in our temptation.
No. Rocky, I don't know if you have any, on chapter 8, when we get to pride.
The great sin.
The great sin he talks about. And this is a chapter, a buddy of mine, we were reading at the same time, and he called me that morning or that day. He goes, have you read this chapter yet? And I said, I just read it this morning. It might be the greatest thing I've ever read. I mean, it was incredible. So this is chapter 8 on book 3, The Great Sin. Rocky, I'll kind of let you roll with it.
Well, so the thing that rocked me about this chapter is that I was really expecting Lewis, even though he said not to think this way, but I was expecting the great sin to be something other than pride. I thought, well, pride is just kind of one sin amongst many. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, Lewis really just dashes that against the rocks, and he tells us that no, ultimately pride is the sin from which all other sins flow. It's the great sin. Mm-hmm. So even sexual immorality or theft, all those things start with pride, start with a self-conceit or a self-love, and they work themselves out from there. It starts ultimately, so if you want to bring your Bible into it, in the first commandment, God calls us to hold him as the highest, the most supreme, the most beloved. You know, I'm expanding upon the first commandment, obviously, but that's ultimately where the first love should be. Pride is a first love of self, not of the holy other, the Lord God Almighty. Mm-hmm. And so when we start with a love of self, all sorts of unruly, devilish schemes get played out in our lives. And that's what Lewis, in very broad, I'm painting in broad strokes, what Lewis paints in The Great Sin in chapter 8.
Yeah, he says, on that point, Rocky, C.S. Lewis says, how is it that people who are quite obviously prideful can say they believe in God and appear to themselves very religious? I'm afraid it means they're worshiping an imaginary God, worshiping themselves. He also calls pride a spiritual cancer that eats up the very possibility of love or contentment or even common sense.
He also does a good job of explaining humility and what humility is and how that's supposed to look in the world today. So the whole chapter from start to finish, in my mind, is worth reading and reading every single morning when you wake up. It's that good. Just understanding the human nature of our fallen self and how pride is that root of almost all other sin.
Well, I would say it's the key root of it's the sin through which all others flow.
Yeah.
To give you Lewis's kind of stark diagnosis of pride, the Christians are right. It is pride which has been the chief cause of misery in every nation and every family since the world began. And then listen to this. For pride is spiritual cancer. It eats up every possibility of love or contentment or even common sense. And that's not even the end of the chapter. So he's he's dropping bombs all throughout the chapter.
So here's what you have to do. Buy the book. Read the chapter. It's chapter 9 of book 3. He ends this. So he doesn't, you know, not ending with the world is falling. We're all terrible people. Mm-hmm. He ends it with charity, hope, faith. Mm-hmm. So faith, hope, and love is how he ends book 3. This is, I got a couple quotes from book 3, but this is from the one on charity. Good and evil both increased a compound interest. That is why the little decisions you and I make every day are of such infinite importance. The smallest good act today is the capture of a strategic point from which a few months later you may be able to go on victorious to victories you never dreamed of. An apparent trivial indulgence in lust or anger today is a loss of a ridge or a railway line or a bridgehead from which the enemy may launch an attack otherwise impossible. Reminds you of Screwtape Letters when he says it's better.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in murder when cards, you know, whatever, lying cards will do just fine. So he talks about the little things you're doing matter so much today.
Indeed. And regarding Christian charity, he's not speaking merely of like donating money or something like that. What he's talking about is living out the principle of loving others as you'd have them love you, right? So he's living out. He's asking us to look deeply at the claims of Jesus. And so he goes on to say that it's not a matter of your having a liking of one person and then doing something kind towards them. Listen to this. The rule for all of us is perfectly simple. Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. Mm-hmm. As soon as we do this, we find one of the greatest secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him.
Mm-hmm. So it becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way. Like fake it till you make it almost.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily go down that road of fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. But there is the almost discipline. You kind of hear that militaristic discipline that Lewis applies here of, you know, your feelings, your natural self is really not a great guide. And so where faith or trust in the rule that Christ has given us comes into play. And so I would say he's coming from an approach of actively trust in what Christ has said, not in what that little voice in your own head says about whether you like somebody or not.
And one of the smart things he does over and over again in this book, and I think he does, as he pointed out in the preface, just to get people on the same page with him, he'll often say, hey, listen, if this doesn't jive with you or this analogy doesn't make sense, just forget it and move on to the next thing.
That's right.
So he then moves to book 4, which is Beyond Personality or First Steps into the Doctrine of the Trinity. And he spends some time here diving into the belief of the Trinity and more specific Christian beliefs. And he talks, Rocky, to your point, about a lot about grace and the doctrine of grace here and how our reply to that, how God's searching for us and how anything we do is us responding to the call that God's already doing. So it gets really deep into that. One of my favorite quotes from this, we only have about another minute to talk, how monotonously alike are all the great tyrants and conquerors have been and how gloriously different are the saints. So that's one of the, that is in the final book talking about a new man. So that's in the last chapter. And I thought that was So perfect way to wrap it up. I have one more quote I have to hit on because I remember this is another one I just highlighted. This is from an earlier part of the book where it says, progress means getting nearer to the place you want to be. And if you have taken a wrong turn, then going forward does not get you any nearer. If you are on the wrong road, progress means doing an about turn, walking back to the right road. And in that case, the man who turns back soonest is the most progressive man. And when we're on the wrong path in life, progress does not mean walking faster on the same path. It means turning around and taking care of what we need to do to get on the right path. Guys, we have about 30 seconds left. Anything you want to add to this conversation before we have to take a break?
Yeah, almost doxologically, Lewis describes this good infection of Christianity, that they are a great fountain of energy and beauty spurting up at the very center of reality, speaking about the Trinity ultimately here. If you are close to it, the spray will wet you. If you are not, you will remain dry. And so the idea is that as you draw nearer to God, the spray just covers you in this, what he calls this fountain of energy and beauty.
It's a great way to end it, Rocky.
Indeed. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Again, we cannot tell you enough to go out, buy Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. While you're at it, just buy an anthology. Just buy one of those ones, like seven
letters.
Or eight
yeah,
books.
That's what I have.
Just Great Divorce. Yep. Get it all while you're at it. We'll be back after this break to wrap up our conversations on Mere Christianity.
Thank you, construction professionals, for underwriting our show, Man Up. Construction professionals have been long supporters of Iowa Catholic Radio, and we've seen their work firsthand. It's very impressive. They do remodeling or new construction that is innovative, functional, and designing what you want. CPCustomHomes.com.
This is Iowa Catholic Radio.
Iowa Catholic Radio is proud to present Crosstunes, a brand new show filled with an hour of inspirational music featuring some of today's most popular artists like Lauren Daigle.
Oh, oh Lord, oh Lord, I know you hear my cry.
Toby Mac.
I just need you.
And Holland.
I love that you are thinking of me. All those voices fade away.
Crosstunes debuts on February 19th. The show will run from 7 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. Brought to you by R&R Realty Group.
Thank you, Caldwell Parish Funeral Home and Crematory, for underwriting Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo. Most of us plan ahead in life, weddings, education, and other significant life events. Pre-planning your funeral is just as important. By pre-planning, you're helping your family by making important decisions for a very difficult time. By prepaying, you remove the financial burden as well. Caldwell Parish, Des Moines' only Catholic-owned and operated funeral home. Helping with pre-planning and transfer of pre-need arrangements. 515-276-0551.
My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry my
weight. Welcome back to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. I am Joe Stopulis along with Father Zach Kautsky, and we're wrapping up part two of our discussion on Mere Christianity. Father Zach, anything we left out or any parting thoughts before we tie a bow on this conversation?
Well, I think it's great. Mere Christianity is a great book to order, give away. I know we're going to be using it with our mm-hmm. small groups.
I have five coming in this week, actually.
With high schoolers, yeah. So I think there was a quote from Mere Christianity about pride, just briefly. And C.S. Lewis says, "The Christians are right. It is pride which has been the chief cause of misery in every nation and every family since the world began." And to kind of... on the reverse end of that, in humility, he says, you're never going to make a good impression on other people until you stop thinking about what sort of impression you're making.
Yeah.
You know, so to have true humility and to really see the joy of that particular virtue.
Mm-hmm. There's another quote that we didn't get to on the from this end of this episode on the living the Christian life. This is in talks about the role of the laity. And he says, the job is really on us, on the layman. The application of Christian principles, say, to trade unionism or education, must come from the Christian trade unionist and the Christian schoolmaster, just as Christian literature comes from the Christian novelist and dramatist, not from the bench of bishops getting together and trying to write plays and novels in their spare time. To that point, that is our call. We're the ones out in the world. As a lay man, I should be out in the world as a lay businessman. As a Christian, showing people what a Christian businessman looks like, what a Christian father looks like. That should be my job. Also, if you're an artist, make great art. Go out and make great art. That's a talent that you've been given. If you can play Christian music, go out and do that. If you can make a, if you can draw a picture of the crucifixion, do, use your talents that you have to spread the gospel, to talk the truth. Anyway, we cannot express enough how we think everyone listening to this should have that book in their library. I mean, it's good to go rent it from the library, but it should be in your house.
It's great quotes. Just
it's so easy
so
to pick
quotable.
Up,
yeah.
Pick up, read for 15, 20 minutes, take a chapter in, and just chew on it. It's very accessible to all ages, and we just can't encourage it enough. So Iowa Catholic Radio is listener-supported. Please consider making a tax-deductible donation today at iowacatholicradio.com. And thank you again for joining us on Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. For Father Zach Kautsky, I'm Joe Stopulis. It's time to Man Up.
Man Up, inspiring men to live out their call to holiness with Joe Stopulis and Father Zach Kautsky. Heard Mondays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Brought to you by Construction Professionals.